the Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Welcome back, my first guest for 2022. A fine one indeed. It is John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times here locally. John, Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year, brother. Glad you made it to another one.
You and I both, John. You and I both.
Did you go to Las Vegas?
I did go to Las Vegas, and so far, I've been COVID-free upon my return. It's been more than a week now, John. So
I think you're probably okay then.
I think I am, but I got a couple of kids homesick. One's been notified of a COVID exposure. My big guy, Fancy Brian, he's also off this week due to COVID exposure. So I feel like, John, I'm like the only healthy guy in my neighborhood right now.
It's going around, as they say.
I did get boosted today, John. I got my number 3.
Boosted?
So I'm hopeful that, you know, I got a supercharged immune system now.
You're a little late in the game, brother. You know, I think you were supposed to get boosted a while ago.
I should have gotten boosted before I went to Vegas, obviously.
Yeah, but that's my only suggestion to you from here on out. You know,
like Ron Johnson, you know, I was just looking for natural
immunity.
You're
following his advice again? Man, how many times have I told you, you know, if you fall in with the wrong crowd, some bad things could happen to you.
Well, John, Ron Johnson doesn't come around here so much anymore. And that's been about a year, John. It was the end of September of 2020, before the presidential. And Ron used to come around about every 6 weeks. I described him as country club cordial, but he kind of went full Trump. He kind of went off the deep end at some point last year, John. And, you know, we just stopped asking. We stopped wanting the man around. John, you wrote a very interesting and I think compelling opinion piece at the Cap Times this week. You analogize Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson with former Wisconsin Senator Joe McCarthy. And, John, I think you're pretty right to do so.
Yeah, I'm afraid I am. The Cap Times, which I've been associated with for a long time, was the first newspaper to take on Joe McCarthy. And it did so pretty aggressively for the better part of a decade. So, you know, we kind of know the territory. And as a result, we're very cautious about comparing people to McCarthy. And the reason for that is that McCarthy was really bad. He did a tremendous amount of destruction in Wisconsin and nationally. And, you know, you don't casually compare someone to him. But the fact of the matter is that over the last year or so, Ron Johnson really has taken on the McCarthy mantle. And I would go so far as to say he's outdone him. He's worse than McCarthy. Because as bad as McCarthy was, and McCarthy was a liar and a cheat and a drunk and, you know, a whole bunch of other bad things, there's very little evidence that he went out and actually, like in the midst of a public health pandemic in a very serious circumstance, deliberately gave terrible advice. You know, that's just one example of it. But the real thing that kind of tipped me off or got me thinking about it was going back over some of Johnson's more extreme statements of the last year. And at one point, radio show or a podcast, I think, and he compared Joe Biden or he referred to Joe Biden as a Marxist. And I thought, well, even McCarthy didn't call Eisenhower a Marxist. And so that was what struck me as it was time to call the senator out.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. I got a fine co-devil. It's John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times locally. And we're talking about our U.S. Senator, Ron Johnson. And, John, I had the quote-unquote privilege of hosting Ron Johnson the day after his first acquittal vote for Donald Trump. He came in studio, long form. And we talked, John, at that time about his legacy, how history would remember him. And I came just short of asking him, have you no decency, sir? Because he was intimately involved in the affair with Zelensky. He had gone to Ukraine as an emissary of Trump. He basically went over and threatened the Ukrainian leader on behalf of Trump So he was up to his albino eyebrows, John, and he still voted to acquit, and maybe he voted to acquit himself in some way, shape, or form. What's your thought on the first acquittal, John?
Absolutely. There's simply no question of it. I mean, had they done that impeachment trial right, and, you know, I'm not as big a fan of Adam Schiff as some folks are. I think Adam Schiff was, you know, I don't think he actually handled that one as well as I would like to have seen him done. You know, I much prefer the way Jamie Raskin handled the second one. But, you know, had the first trial been done right, Ron Johnson would have been called as a witness, potentially identified as a co-conspirator, because he was so intimately involved in the process. And the reason you call him as a witness or even identify him as a co-conspirator is not because you think that's going to make him do the right thing. I think, like most Wisconsinites, I gave up on the notion that Ron Johnson was going to do the right thing a long time ago. But it is for the other Republican members of Congress or other Republican members of the Senate to recognize just how far off the deep end Ron Johnson is, and also perhaps to choose not to go off the deep end with him. And so I think he should have been called as a witness. He should have been identified as a co-conspirator. And frankly, he should have faced censure in the Senate for actions that were every bit as bad as what Donald Trump did.
But John, if you'll recall, he was the HISGAC chairman, Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. And Ron took a lot of pride until he term limited out of that role of having that gavel. And let's not forget, when Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State, Ron Johnson was on the witch hunt. He was looking for his pound of flesh from Hillary. He held public hearings to make accusations against her about four deaths in a foreign land. I mean, we had hundreds of thousands of deaths under the Trump administration in regards to a pandemic, John. And he used the very same committee to go out there and push hydroxychloroquine as a remedy.
Yeah, I think that's a very good reference point. It's interesting because, you know, that does get straight into Joe McCarthy territory, right? The idea of making just extreme and completely false statements about someone and using your committee chairmanship in incredibly irresponsible ways.
John, I'd like to think I have nothing but sterling analogies to offer over here, but
that's
please
good
continue,
analogy,
sir.
Yeah, you did good there. But, you know, I think the interesting thing about it is that with Ron Johnson, it's been intriguing to watch the guy's evolution because clearly, you know, he's gotten drunk on this, you know, kind of right-wing celebrity status. He likes the way that he's treated by people on the right. Obviously, he doesn't like the way he's treated by, you know, responsible folks, but he is enjoying his minor celebrity. And I think that's, you know, one of the arguments that he's likely to run for re-election. You know, just back in the late 40s, early 50s, when Joe McCarthy's re-election prospects weren't looking good, that's when he went to his extremes. That's when he started, you know, saying he saw communists everywhere and, you know, really went off the deep end. And I think you're seeing a very similar thing with Ron Johnson, that he knows that he is politically vulnerable. That's quite obvious. And he's chosen to try and rally his base by going to some of the most extreme positions. I think there's, you know, always this debate with Ron Johnson about whether it's maybe, to be polite, maybe an intellectual deficit versus cynicism. And I never know quite where to land with the guy, but I do think that some of the stands he's taken, some of the things he said, are so off the rails that it does suggest that there's a cynicism to it, a political cynicism that really is motivated by his sense that might help him in his re-election run.
Well, and there's some willful, blissful ignorance as well. We also talked about the Stormy Daniels affair, and I know that. You know, is somewhat lost to history, the fact that the former president, when he was candidate Trump, was paying off porn stars, paying NDAs, because he didn't want it being publicly disclosed that he was having an affair, raw-dogging a porn star, allegedly. Well, the fact that he signed the checks, there are specific checks that Trump signed. There is evidence that's in abundance that this was a crime. And we had Ron Johnson on the show back in 17. And I asked him point blank, why did you not investigate this? Why are you not using your, you know, your committee powers, your subpoena powers to investigate this president? I said, if this was Obama, you'd be screaming it from the rooftops. And he gave me the Sergeant Schultz, John. He said, you know, I know nothing. I see nothing. Yeah. So it's hard not to be cynical when faced with specific evidence, when the guy says, yeah, but that's my guy. I don't want to know.
Right. And that's, you know, look, and there's been sort of a degeneration in the Senate in general. There's Democrats who are hyper-partisan as well. So, you know, you should always recognize that reality. But it didn't used to be the case. It used to be that Democrats and Republicans in the Senate were willing to call out their president if the president of their party was wrong. And, you know, famously, Gaylord Nelson opposed Lyndon Johnson passionately because Johnson was wrong about the Vietnam War. And you saw many other examples of that throughout history. But Ron Johnson is just an empty-headed partisan. I mean, he's clearly that, I will argue, is you know, relates to his whatever mental capacities he has or lacks. He just doesn't think about his partisanship whatsoever. But I still would argue that he's got sort of the Trumpian self-preservation instinct. And as a result, even if he isn't the sharpest tack in the box, he will work desperately to try and keep himself in a position of power. And it's pretty clear that he has determined that the way to keep himself in that position of power is to gin up the base, get his base so, you know, agitated, so impassioned that they will definitely show up to vote no matter what. And then obviously to encourage his allies in the legislature to make it harder for everybody else to vote.
Well, John, I agree with you completely in your assessment, but you stated you don't think this is a thoughtful or a conscious thought by Ron Johnson to take this tact. I think it is, John. As you mentioned, I think it is his strategic tact. He thinks he cannot win unless he gets the fringest of the Trumpsters.
Well, that's it. See, I think that it's a combination of both. I think he is an unthinking partisan. I don't think that he's devoted a minute of thought to the damage he does with his hyper-partisanship. By the same token, I think he has a, you know, kind of a desperate self-preservation instinct, and that desperate self-preservation instinct has motivated him to take some very cynical actions, primarily to, you know, rally the base in hopes that that may protect him in a re-election run. And you know, the bottom line is we do a lot of analysis of Ron Johnson because he's, you know, he's not an easily explained man, right? You would think someone who is of his age and has, you know, some background in business and things like that might have, you know, some baseline of responsibility, but he doesn't. And so, you know, we struggle to explain it by, you know, looking at his, you know, his capabilities or at his cynicism or whatever it is. And at the end of the day, I think the bottom line is this is a someone who is unfit to serve in the United States Senate. He shouldn't be there. And obviously, I'm not alone in saying that. You'll recall that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, after January 6th of last year, suggested that it was time for him to go.
But, John, he is the wanted candidate by both Republicans and Democrats. I saw an interesting op-ed. I believe it was an op-ed. A lot of quotes from activists on both sides of the aisle at thehill.com yesterday. Everybody wants a piece of Ron Johnson. Republicans think, you know, he's the incumbent. Well, that will give him a better chance in a, you know, a highly contested state. He's the only Republican U.S. senator up for re-election in a state carried by Joe Biden. But all the Democrats want a piece of his ass as well because they've seen the polling, John, and people don't like Rojo so much.
That is absolutely true. I mean, he's got bad numbers, but you see, what he's counting on and what I would suggest rather cynical Republicans are saying outside of there to have them are counting on is that the 2022 election will be a relatively low turnout election, that people won't be as excited to vote as they were in 2020, and that a combination of a little bit of voter suppression, a lot of voter depression ends up in a situation where the people who are really motivated to vote are right-wing Republicans, and that's
Hold that thought, John. More Devils. We'll be right back with John Nichols.